Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome to this week's episode of Steelers War Room. I'm your host of this weekly show, Matt Peverell, the host of the show that puts you in the minds of Kevin Colbert, Omar Khan, Mike Tomlin, Steelers front office, the Rooney family, whoever it is, within the Steelers organization that's looking together to put together a winning roster, whether that's in 2021 or beyond. We're at 500, so I guess you call that winning or a level roster so far, 17-game season, so you can't finish 8-8, and so we'll see where the Steelers finish up. I'd suggested in my bye week podcast this week, the special one that a lot of us that contribute to BehindTheSteelCurtain.com on the website or across the podcast network that we've done this week, we've done a buy special. And in that, if you haven't had a chance to listen to that yet, I predict that the Steelers, I think, are going to finish 10-7. So that'll definitely be a winning record, just to go slightly off kilter there. But if you've seen the title of today's show, which obviously hopefully you have as you click to download the show or as you've clicked to stream it, and we do ask you to download it, please. It helps all of us out from, in how we're able to keep putting on these shows from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, beyond the stream. And I think the majority of our listeners come from Apple podcasts. So, that's something you can set up so that every time there's a podcast, it will download to your device. But equally, I'm not an Apple podcast, listener to the network. I'm a Spotify user. And so if you're a Spotify user, or Pandora's not that big down here because Spotify, smashed Pandora when it came to market and down here being down under. So the Spotify guy, listeners, shout out to you guys. I'm a Spotify listener. I'm a Steelers Spotify listener. More than that, I'm a Behind the Steel Curtain Steelers Spotify listener. So look, as I said, if you've seen the title of today's show, you're obviously it's pretty clear that, we're looking at a midterm report here for the Steelers rookies. And, it's something they should be pretty used to coming out of college. Is a bit of a midterm report grades and what have you. Now, unfortunately for them, they don't get to hide the grades, from their parents. The grades are out there. As soon as they're given, they're out there. Now, the other thing I would say is that having listened to a few of the bye week podcasts by now, Najee Harris seems to be a fairly consensus offensive MVP through six games. Obviously, he's the first round draft pick. Obviously, we're going to cover him. But I want to start elsewhere on the list. So we're going to cover off 11 rookies in this podcast. I've given them all a grade, and I've done the classic A plus, A minus, B plus, B minus, C plus, C minus, D plus, D plus, D minus, and all the way through to F, basically. I'm really good at D, which is interesting because I'm usually known as the straight shooter, the person that, you know, can be pretty critical at times. But I can tell you, no one got a D and no one got an F. Someone get a did. Someone has a do not has not attempted or do not attempt though. Or I can't say did not pass because the season's not over yet. But yeah, we're going to crack through these 11 guys, and so most of these guys were drafted. You know, so I'll let you know where they were drafted in what order, obviously, in terms of the pick was. But we're going to kick it off with an undrafted free agent. We're going to kick it off with Christian Kuntz. You know, Marky Davison, Marky D, my co-host of Steelers Touch Down Under, he actually has got a Kuntz jersey. Can you believe that? And not one of these, you know, dodgy ones that Brian Anthony Davis gets. He's got a proper Kuntz jersey. So Christian Kuntz, obviously he's a long snapper. He can play in that linebacker position as well. You know, joins the Steelers, been around the squad for a couple of years. He's 27 years old. You know, he's actually 10 days younger than my sister, funnily enough. When I look at his, look at him there, he's out of, you know, he's you know, actually a Pennsylvania local, I think. I think he went to Chardy's Valley, you know, for high school. But he's played all through six games. Obviously, we saw the release of Canada. Now, I was hopeful they'd get rid of Canada. And I say that because I think the cap space that he held. And I said it all through this show. If you have been listening to this show, I know Jeff's goes right at iCrew. There's the Nerds of Steel with Dave. Bad's got bad company. You know, I've occasionally called some of the regular listeners to this show the War Room Warriors, you know, whatever we want to be called. And I'm open to someone hitting me up on Twitter at Matt Pev, MATTPEV, in terms of what we're going to be called. But maybe we don't even need a name. But for those people that regularly listen, you know that I've talked about Canada, and cutting him and saving the best part of $500,000 potentially, especially when the Steelers were strapped for cash at the start of free agency when this show was born once the season ended. And that was back when we were cap room, then became war room as we moved into the draft, and that's where we've kept it. So from a Christian Kuntz perspective, I don't think he's done anything negative. You know, from that perspective, he's not played any defensive snaps. He's made a couple of tackles, you know, in the special teams game. He's played about 30% of the special team snaps there as well, which obviously we need a long snapper. That makes sense from that perspective rather than, you know, receiving, returning punts, you know. So, you know, from a Christian Kuntz perspective, I've given him a B. I mean, you know, you can give him a B minus. He doesn't really do, you know, crazy amounts, you know, outside of that contribution for the Steelers. Maybe give him a B minus. Maybe some people give him a C plus. I give him a B. He's not done anything wrong. I think he could have screwed something up by now. He's had a tackle too. You know, so for me, you know, B, let's move on kind of thing. That's why Isaiah Loudermilk. Isaiah Loudermilk's played five games. He's played, he had a defensive snap high of 27 in week two. He was inactive in week one. He played 24% of the snaps against Green Bay in week four. He's played a little bit on special teams again in week two and week four. Interested to see what he can do down the stretch, you know, and where he can come in, particularly if Tua remains injured. But a lot of people are sort of saying his pass rush isn't very good at the moment, but he's offered a little bit at nose tackle. So we're in the interior, which is interesting. Look, the Steelers traded up to get this guy. They traded, you know, up a fourth round pick, you know, next year's draft to get in here in the fifth round in this year's draft. They didn't have a pick after they'd picked two players we're going to preview shortly, you know, to get Isaiah Loudermilk. So you know, he's going to have to develop people like what they're seeing in the locker room. Apparently, a lot of his fellow players. That's great. I mean, the guy's 6'7" and 250 pounds, according to Pro Football Reference. I think he's actually put on a bit more weight than that. I think he's probably put at least, or he's playing at least 20 to 30 pounds more than that. But that's a big bloke at 6'7". You know, and I know he stripped down for the draft because he played last year in college, I think at 267. So really where we need him as the Steelers, was, you know, over the next couple of years is to get to like a 290 even, or maybe even heavier, you know, and build that muscle, which I'm sure I think he'll do. You know, and obviously he, you know, was out of Wisconsin, you know, so people knew him there pretty well, taking the fifth round, 156 overall. I've given him a C. Now, again, I could see someone giving him a C minus. I could see someone saying C plus. He's not done anything terrible. I could see someone saying even D plus. Even as I say C, I kind of think he's either C minus. But again, to me, he's not done anything crazily wrong. He's not cost them a game. He's not played, you know, even a third of the snaps in any part of the game, in terms of whether that's offense, defense, or special teams. So it's hard to really penalize him for doing that. So, you know, let's give him a C. So let's get into Dan Moore Jr., pick 128, fourth round. He's allowed two sacks this season, which is tied for 18th in the league. You know, he's had a couple of penalties, not many. So he's only had two penalties, one false start, one holding. He's played 96% of the offensive snaps. He's played 100% every week until this week against Seattle, where he played 79%. And we know that he went out injured in that game. He's played a bit of special teams as well, with, you know, a season low of 9% in the Seahawks game, and a season high the week before of Denver of 23%. I'd be interested to see, you know, what this injury looks like going forward, particularly now with the bye week, you know, whether he's just automatically back and playing. But Dan Moore Jr. is 6'5". I don't believe the weight that I've got sitting here in front of me. You know, and he's been a real surprise packet. I mean, no one expected this guy. Brian Anthony Davis covered it off, you know, pretty recently. Like, no one expected, and so did Jeff, you know, in his Let's Ride. You know, no one predicted that Dan Moore would be making, you know, six starts to start the season as well, which is terrific. Although I said to Bad asked me at the start in the Slack channel, at the start of the season, how many players in this draft would meaningfully contribute. And I listed them out and he said, so you're saying minimum of four? And I said, yes. And they were Pat Freiermuth, Najee Harris, Dan Moore Jr., and I think that, and Kendrick Green. I didn't necessarily know that, you know, and I didn't count Presley Harvin because obviously he drafted at a specialist position. But it's just interesting when you get to Dan Moore Jr. and you think about it. And, you know, Dan Moore Jr. was on that list, but I didn't have Trey Norwood. But I did say I'm excited for what Trey Norwood could do. And I did sort of say I think we could, you know, it could be more than five players. But five players out of a draft of a rookie class where you've got 11, and that's including if you can't count Kuntz. Kuntz there, but really he's been around the team for a couple of years. That's incredible hit margin for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, actually, I should caveat this as we almost get halfway through the podcast. There is one other player that is technically a rookie, according to Pro Football Reference, who I'm not going to talk about, and that is DeMarcus Christmas, because he's on IR. I will talk about Rico Bussey quickly, but I also don't see DeMarcus Christmas really doing anything meaningful for this team ever. So back to Dan Moore Jr. I think when you really look at it, Dan Moore Jr. has really come along. People thought he might be the swing tackle. He's held his own at left tackle, which has been awesome, given that Chooks hasn't really done really not made anyone feel a lot of confidence, which is going to be interesting when Banner comes back. You know, and Dan Moore can play inside too at left guard. So this versatility for the Steelers is helpful. If Trey Turner, who I think is actually adjusting really well to the Steelers and will probably stay with us for, you know, a couple more seasons. If that wasn't happening, you can move Dotson over. Maybe you move Dan Moore inside if you absolutely had to. Maybe there might be part of the season where they've got to do it. You know, but he's out of Texas, went to Texas A&M. And yeah, as I say, I think you can give Dan Moore a B+. You allow two sackles. I said it again, Marky D, if you're listening to this week's show. You know, but he's only allowed two sacks. I think from that perspective, from a rookie left tackle, you know, it's not perfect from him by any stretch, but I think that deserves a B plus when you're taking him in the fourth round, you know, at this point in the season. Buddy Johnson's the next player we're going to look at, also out of Texas A&M. He's an inside linebacker, and, you know, he was taken with pick 140 overall. I'm giving him a C plus. Now, people might be saying, geez, you're being generous there, you know, and I'm usually a tough mark, a tough grader. You know, he's only played in a couple of games, week one, you know, and then week two. So, actually, no, I don't have him there in week two because I've just got him there in this stat as week one. But when it comes to Buddy Johnson, apologies, I'm recording this very late at night in Australia. I wanted to make sure I had the latest here, but yeah, very late at night, after 11 p.m. now. But yeah, when it talks to Buddy Johnson, you know, I'm excited for what he can do. You know, he's not being put on the practice squad. You've seen him play some special team snaps. He played almost 50% of those in week one against Buffalo. First start, you know, first career game from that perspective. And I think when it comes to Buddy Johnson, you're going to see him develop. And, you know, you might have not even found that he was getting hat for half the season. So I think the fact that he is, I think you can give him a C plus. Again, he's not someone that's done anything horrifically wrong. He hasn't cost him a game. He hasn't done anything terrible. Watch it build with him. And I think over time, you know, he's going to be really beneficial for this Pittsburgh Steelers team over the 4 years that we've got him with his deal signed. So, you know, that's a C plus, you know, for Buddy Johnson. But with that, we're going to take a break on Steelers War Room. Join me for part two. We've got a few more players to crack through with these midterm grades. And, you know, I'd love to hear from you guys as well, you know, after you've listened to this show on Twitter. You can email me at aussiesteeler91@gmail.com. That's aussiesteeler91@gmail.com. We'd love to hear the way you guys gave the grades as well. But yeah, join us for part two because we've got Trey Norwood, Presley Harvin, Cody White, Najee Harris, Rico Bussi, Kendrick Green, and Pat Freiermuth all coming up.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And we're back on Steelers War Room. I'm your host of this weekly show, Matt Peverell, the host of the show, as I always like to say, that puts you in the minds of Kevin Colbert, Omar Khan, Mike Tomlin. And we're talking this week on rookie midterm report card. We're not going to look at college players. You know, it's been a very easy one for me to just preview a bunch of college games to watch this weekend with the bye. Some people might be taking a week off football when it comes to the weekend, or they might be making it up to the other half or the kids or what have you. So I'm not going to go down that. And I think it's important we look at these rookie grades, you know, as well. And I think it's interesting context given what some people might be doing in their bye week podcasts as well. So I hope you're checking all of those out too. I think I've stayed pretty consistent with what I said on that show, but, you know, hopefully you think so too. But let's get to Trey Norwood. So Trey Norwood, you know, well, what a meteoric rise from someone that was drafted, you know, seventh in the seventh round, 245 overall. I'm going to give, it's a hard one. He's someone I don't think has done anything negative. I think he's, you know, in special teams, he's played a low of 29% last week against the Seahawks, a high of 46% against Denver, you know, and has played otherwise 40 or 33% special team snaps. So he's making a meaningful contribution in that part of the field, in that part of the game, which is important because he was labeled sort of a bit of a Swiss Army knife by Mike Tomlin right after the draft. And then apart from the 23% that he played last week in Seattle, which was incredible because of what he did on third down, a number of stops, he played 80% week one. He played 76% week two. He played 30% in week three, 14% in week four, 37% in week five, and then I'd say 23% last week in terms of the defensive snaps. That's some massive numbers for a seventh round draft pick. And I thought he showed up in the preseason too. There was the game against the Cowboys, the Hall of Fame game, and then the Lions game where you saw him starting to come on. He wasn't perfect, but you saw a bit of potential there. But, you know, through six games, he's had one start, you know, but technically in terms of the formation, no sacks, one pass defense, 15 tackles, 14 of those have been combined, and one tackle for a loss. Which was, you know, very close to being, I think that was the one that was almost, that one wasn't almost a sack, but he's been close a couple of times with sacks. From an advanced, you know, statistical perspective, he's been targeted 17 times for 12 completions. So that gives him the completion rate of just over 70% for 89 yards at 7.4 yards of completion or 5.2 yards per target. Allowing a quarterback rating of 82.7. But that's interesting because the average depth that he's been standing at when targeted as a defender is 8.7. So he's actually cutting that number down if it's a target, but also at a completion level. He's allowed 51 yards through the air, 38 yards after the catch. He's been on two blitzes, one hurry. He's also forced a QB pressure, and he's missed. This is the key stat, which is why I'm giving him a B, not a B minus. No missed tackles. That is massive for a player, you know, in the position that he's playing, and massive for a player that's drafted in the seventh round like this, making the contribution that he is. No missed tackles, right? That is massive for me. You know, you can't miss tackles in this game. Missed tackles lead to big breaks, to big gains, to, you know, not stopping people on third down, you know, to changing momentum. Really big for him not to have any missed tackles. So, as I said, we're going to give Trey Norwood a B. Let's move on to Presley Harvin. Big Press, Jeff's favorite player on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think he even likes him more than Big Ben Roethlisberger. You know, he's number six, played six games, had 25 punts. That's an average of over four a game for 1,122 yards. Shame it's not 1,200. He's had a long of 63. He averages 44.9 yards a punt. You'd like that to be more, but also, you know, you don't necessarily know where the Steelers, you know, are lining up every time, and therefore, you know, they might be wanting to give a short field too. But a long of 63 is pretty good. Dave mentioned him in his bye week podcast, you know, as well with Big Press and, you know, wanting for him to, you know, shank it a little bit less. That's fine. He'll get there. But, you know, for Big Press, for me, he gets a B. He's not done nothing horrible. You know, he's had a couple of nice punts that have, you know, sort of sat up pretty close to the line for the opposition. He's played 30% of the special team snaps as well. You know, so I don't think there's any real issue there when it comes to, you know, Presley Harvin. The funny thing is, actually, we actually got him as part of the Wormley trade as well. So, you know, that's pretty interesting there that they gave us, you know, Big Press. But, you know, exciting to see him in the jersey. And everyone, I think, is waiting for the big trick play, whether he's going to run the football or do a massive bomb pass like he was able to do, you know, while in college. But, you know, we'll see with Presley Harvin. But there you go, Jeff Hartman. Big Press beat out my compatriot, you know, in Jordan Berry, who's having a fairly decent season apart from the block punt, I think, that he had last week. But who cares? This is all about Big Press now. And Big Press is, you know, pressing hard to keep this spot going forward. We then get to Cody White. He also benefits from my generosity, I feel like, in the grades. I'm feeling a bit generous today. He gets a C, you know, undrafted, you know, free agent, wide receiver out of Michigan State. You know, 20, just almost, you know, a couple of weeks off his next birthday, where he'll turn 23, 6'3", 210 pounds, you know, from his perspective. And, you know, when you look at a guy like Cody White, you know, he's only had three targets, two receptions for 17 yards per reception is 8.5. His long's 11. He's catching, you know, two thirds of the passes. obviously 66% there. It's nothing, you know, oh my gosh, crazy. He's had no rushing attempts or what have you. From a special teams perspective, he's had 13 special team snaps. You know, he's not made a massive difference to this team, but again, he's not done anything crazy wrong. He's not dropped a pass in the end zone or what have you. We'll give him a C for now, and then hopefully that can be upgraded through the latter part of the season when he starts contributing a bit more. All right. Then we get to Najee Harris. Najee Jerome Harris, 6'1", 232 pounds, out of Alabama. First round draft pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers, pick number 28, high school Antioch, California. Born March 9, 1998, 23 years old, 226 days. And one of the leaders as well. For this young offense, one of the leaders for this draft class, you know, and actually he's starting to become one of the leaders in the NFL as well in terms of rushing, which is pretty cool. So, you know, we'll get to that in a moment. But, you know, when you sit there and you look at, you know, a player like Najee Harris, you know, this O-line's, you know, had him in the backfield a lot of the time, and he's had 102 rushing attempts for 388 yards at an average of 3.8. He's had two touchdowns, a long rush of 19. You know, he's averaging 64.7 yards per game, and he's yet to have a fumble. That's massive out of a rookie, even through six games. And I think I said that when I did my bye week podcast as well, what that means. He's also 13th in the league for yards per game behind Lamar Jackson, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Darrell Henderson, James Robinson, David Montgomery, Jonathan Taylor, Joe Mixon, Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry. There's some top, and apart from Lamar Jackson, who, you know, is a tall running back, let's face it. slide on the bank, on the Ravens. You look at those names, but Aaron Jones is behind him, Tony Pollard's behind him, Kareem Hunt's behind him, Clyde Edwards-Helaire's behind him, Eckler's behind him, Chris Carson's behind him. You know, I know some of these guys have had injuries. Melvin Gordon's behind him, Leonard Fournette's behind him. That's massive from Najee. It's massive from an O-line that ranked number 32. The O-line helped lead the Pittsburgh Steelers to the worst rushing offense in the league last year. They're now 29th, as Jeff said, but they're going to get on the up. You know, Najee's had his 100-yard game. He's doing some stuff in the receiving as well, in the receiving part of the game. But I did want to sort of share that he's 13th from that perspective in terms of yards per game. Overall, the yardage as well, he's 8th. Touchdowns, he's a lot lower down the list, but you know, that is what it is. I was wrong when I said it should have been a long of 20 yards. He's had 19 first downs that he's run for, which again is in the top, you know, 15 in the league. When you look at the long rush, you know, he's way down the list, but he's not that sort of player that's going to break them, and he hasn't had a real chance yet. But in terms of yards per attempt, you know, when you are looking at guys that have had, you know, the number of attempts he's had, he's not doing too badly. Again, he's having to make three or four people miss just to get 1 yard. He looks terrific. I was a bit worried he was going to hurdle too much after the Buffalo game. That's not something you've seen overly creep into his game, which is really positive from my perspective. From a receiving perspective, he's had 46 targets, 34 receptions, 244 yards. Yards per reception, 7.2, two TDs, a long receiving rush of 12, receiving catch of 12. He's caught almost 75% of his passes. He's had 136 touches from the line of scrimmage for 632 yards. Watch this go up and up and up. I think he can easily, you know, get to the 1,000 yards rushing mark. I think he could get to the 700 yards receiving mark quite quickly. And I think, you know, right now he's got 4 overall offensive touchdowns. I think he could get to 10 to 12. And if he gets 10, fine. But I think if he can get to 10 to 12, we're going to be in a really good spot. But Najee Harris, I'm going to disappoint some people. He's not going to get an A+. I struggle with not giving that to him. I think if he'd had a couple more touchdowns, maybe one more big breakaway run, maybe the O-line had held him up for a bit more, maybe he'd gotten to the 500 mark through six games. So not quite averaging 100 yards per game, you know, but being a bit more of like plus 75 yards per game, I feel like I could give him the A+. I'm going to give him the A. I feel like that's probably, you know, going to be a very critical decision. I feel like it's one that, you know, But it's also one that, yeah, you know what, Najee, you still got room to improve, mate. And I think he's the first one to sort of say that he would too, you know, because he's just that sort of mature bloke. The next guy we're going to go is Rico Bussey, who I thought any of the Steelers could easily have taken him in the sixth or seventh round. It didn't flow out like that. He's been injured all season. He's 23 out of North Texas, you know, in Hawaii. He went to high school in Oklahoma, I think it was. You know, not much to say there, but he's my player that's had the do not attempt part of the quiz or was sick on the day, if you like, so missed the exam. But, you know, excited for what he might do. He's back on the practice squad as of September 1st after being waived. You know, I think hopefully he's starting to work his way back and, you know, who knows what we might see. He was a bit of a favorite, I think, for Haskins in the preseason. So he gets did not attempt at the moment, but excited potentially to see what he can do later in the season. I said I didn't mark Cody White down too much. People know that I'm not the biggest fan of Ray Ray, but I think Rico Bussey, given the chance, could do something for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it's very much watch and wait as he works himself back to full health. We then get to Kendrick Green, my pick, my man, just as much as big press is Jeff Hartman's, you know, probably pick of this draft. I get to Kendrick Green, and it's hard to say this because Pat Freiermuth was a pick for me. Pat Freiermuth, who we're going to preview last in a moment, was the guy that I had my money on, as well as Kendrick Green. Kendrick Green, I previewed the legendary, you know, component, or, you know, maybe I'm talking up, but people, you know, credit me with talking about him a couple of days before the draft on the Friday evening, Thursday evening, and I previewed him on this show, Steelers War Room. I'd seen him 2 weeks before on a Sunday in Australia or a Saturday in the US. I'd seen him come up in a highlights tape with Daniel Jeremiah, and then I'd gone and watched it. And I remember watching him in my living room table. I kept saying to my fiance, "Oh, this guy's really good." And she was like, "Oh, you're watching a lot of tape with this guy." And I'm like, "Yeah, he's moving, man. He's a guard, but he can play center. You know, I think the Steelers could pick him." I think he's a really good fit. What do you know? Steelers do pick him. They don't pick Creed Humphrey. They don't pick Landon Dickerson in the first two rounds. They wait to round three. They get their man, Kendrick Green. It allows them to get Pat Freiermuth in the second round, who we're going to preview in a second. And Kendrick Green's played a season low of 89% of the snaps against when he played against Cincinnati in week three. Otherwise, 95% week one, 100% the rest of them. He's allowed zero sacks, only had four penalties against him. I think that's pretty good from that perspective. So he's playing 97% of the offensive snaps overall at 770. You know, it's interesting. I've got four penalties from PFF. There's only three on Pro Football Reference. So that's interesting from that perspective as well. And, you know, he's a guy, he's a center that runs a 4.89 40 yard. You know, at the combine, he did 25 bench. You know, he did 119 broad jump. I think these are more his pro day because, you know, they have the combine. Shuttle 4.67, three cone 7.79, vertical 35.5. He's putting on a bit of weight now too. I think he's at like 315 pounds and, you know, he was about 305 at the draft sort of time frame. I just love Kendrick Green. I think he's a fantastic player. You saw some awesome blocking against Seattle and it came up in some highlights as well. And they talked about, you know, the big lanes that he's starting to open up. He and Kevin Dotson together are great. I think he's gelling with Trey Turner now as the season's starting to roll on a bit as well. Excited for Kendrick Green. He gets a B for me. You know, I almost went B plus. But I think, you know, Najee needs to be getting closer to that average of 80 yards per game. And I would have liked to see one less penalty if it was the four. So it's, you know what? I'm going to revise the grade. And now I think about it, he can have a B plus for Kendrick Green. If he'd allowed, you know, a couple of sacks, maybe then, you know, we could give him a B or a B minus, but no, let's give him a B plus. Let's upgrade him. Kendrick Green, B plus. And the final rookie we're going to give a midterm grade to is Pat Freiermuth, who as soon as they picked Najee Harris and as soon as I started to see him on the board, and I talked about him briefly. I hadn't previewed him deeply on War Room. We have since the draft. But I didn't talk about Pat Freiermuth, you know, on the show, and I talked about it. I think to Mark and I talked about it. I talked about it on a couple of the other shows. I talked to a couple of people in the Slack channel about it. said, Pat Freiermuth was a great fit. I just didn't think he would be there because of where Kyle Pitts was going to be drafted. And Kyle Pitts is, you know, a wide receiver in a tight end's body. And you look at Pat Freiermuth, and otherwise he was the best tight end in this draft. And if he was available, the Steelers would probably want to go after him because they could fill the position for a few years. But equally, there's a lot of guys like Tommy Tremble and that can block that were later in the draft. What do you know? When he was still on the board with five picks away from the Steelers, I just started going nuts in the Slack channel. And I'd already put money on the Steelers to draft him in the second round, actually. You know, and I want to end up winning him over 150 Aussie dollars. You know, so let's call it about 110, 120 American. Enough to get me a Pat jersey. Currently, I can get one that's non-custom on Fanatics that's black. I've got almost all my jerseys are the black jersey. So I kind of want a white one with the 88. Or a color rusher with the 88 would be pretty cool. But yeah, Pat Freiermuth is someone I've been really high on, really like him, done nothing wrong. That's why we're giving him an A-. Now, if I gave the same, I took the favoritism out, I'd probably give him a B+. But I mean, even A-, he's had 18 receptions off 20 targets for 150 yards, 8 yards, an average of 8.8 yards per reception, one TD, long, you know, he's had 12 first downs that he's helped the Steelers get, you know, and he's been passable on several third downs. I like the fight for extra yards. He did that on the weekend against the Seahawks. I loved it. He's had a long reception of 24, you know, as well. He averages 3 receptions a game. I think that needs to get closer to 5 or 6. A catch rate of 90% for almost 30 yards per game, you know. I need to get him involved more from a touchdown perspective. I would have hoped that we could have got him 2 to 3. You know, by the time we got to 6 games, Ben needs to use him more. I think he's a fantastic player. He's playing generally about 50 to 60% of the offensive snaps. He's playing a little bit on special teams. I just think he's a terrific, terrific player. 6'5", about 260 pounds. He's got a massive jaw, you know, there as well. You know, he's dropped less than 5% of his passes. I'm just such a fan of Pat Freiermuth. They need to use him more. That's what I would say. And that's why, you know, for some people, he's not an A-. Some people might even give him an A, but I don't think he's done enough for that just yet. But, you know, when being passed to, he allows a quarterback rating for Ben of 116. Ben can use him more in the red zone. I think that would move much higher up. And from a fantasy perspective, he's ranked, he's got 22 fantasy points, position ranks 24, you know, and I just think he's a terrific player. Struggled with the shoulder injury. I think if he'd been able to complete a proper pro day and combine, he would have got drafted in that first round. I think he could have made it there. But again, the difference between the players picked at number 20 to sort of 35, 40 in the draft, you know, it became very positional need at that point in this draft. And there was a fair amount of movement as well. But, you know, Pat Freiermuth finishes our, you know, midterm rookie report with an A-, pads it out. And now I just cycle through the list. So, you know, again, Christian Kuntz gets a B, Isaiah Wadham gets a C or a C-. Let's go C minus now. Dan Moore Jr. gets a B+. Buddy Johnson gets a C. You know, and I'm moving that now. I speak about it away from C+. Trey Norwood gets a B. Presley Harvin gets a B. Cody White gets a C. Najee Harris gets an A. Rico Bussey gets a did not test. Kendrick Green gets a B. B+. And Pat Freiermuth gets the A-. And that is your 2021. Mid-season, because we're getting pretty close, but it's your midterm or mid-season or mid-year, if you like, Steelers rookie report. I'm Matt Peverell. Go Steelers.